Welcome to Excerpts from the Open Forum. On this program, we'll hear Mr. Harold Camping answering pre-recorded questions regarding issues from the Bible. Here's our first question.
Good evening, Brother Camping. I was wondering if we could look for a minute at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7.
Matthew 6, verse 5 through 7. Let's take a look. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, and so on. Now, what is your question?
I'm kind of wondering what that means, because I have a friend who listens to your program, and he studies the Bible regularly. He kind of backed off from his ministry and trying to get people to learn about the Bible, because he thinks that means if he's praying in public and he's telling friends about it, that's not what God wants. He's supposed to be doing it by how he lives his life. Is that correct and accurate?
No, I don't quite understand. In other words, you have a friend, and he's afraid now to witness the gospel?
Yes, because he believes by this verse, if he's doing that, he's kind of showing off, and that is not what God wants him to do.
Oh,
he
wants to witness
by his life and how he lives it.
Oh, well, now we have to think about this. This verse is not talking about witnessing. This verse is talking about praying. Praying is a very private matter. Now, it is true, for example, if I'm with my family and we're going to eat dinner, for myself or my wife or someone to ask a blessing on the food on behalf of all of us, there's nothing in the Bible that prohibits this. Suppose that we gather a few people together for a Bible study. And in order to ask God's blessing upon our study together, someone is asked to pray for that blessing. There is nothing contrary to the Bible to this. But on the other hand, if prayer is a means to show off my holiness, this is what God is talking about. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and using flowery phrases and beautiful eloquence, and so that people can hear and say, "Oh my, what a holy man! Look how he is praying." He has his reward. He's got the adulation of someone else, but he's got nothing from God. God is not hearing that prayer at all. Prayer is a very private matter. It is the time when we can come broken before God. Fact is, a lot of the content of our prayer is where we're talking to the Lord about this besetting sin or this weakness in our life of one kind or another. Things that we would never, never want another human being to know about. It's none of their business. But we know that God knows all about it, and we can just pour out our hearts to the Lord, asking for his mercy, asking for his help.
He's concerned because when he is trying, he talks to people, he gets them interested in maybe learning about the Bible more in God, and he's praying with them, in front of them, to have, you know, come down upon them, help them learn about him, and want to be interested, want to be.
Well, it's,
he's concerned at that point.
Well, I can't speak for him, of course. I can't speak for him at all or what his concerns are. He has to live out his life. And anybody, for example, who, let's say we have a Bible class and someone who is asked to pray for a blessing on our hour together, if they're going to do this in order to show off their holy eloquence, then it is hollow, it is hypocritical, it is of no value. But on the other hand, if they very humbly beseech the Lord for His mercy, for wisdom from Him, that the Holy Spirit might lead us into truth, so that's very, very proper. So now he has to live his life, and if he feels badly about this or his conscience bothers him about that, then he shouldn't do it, because he's not doing it trusting the Lord. He is, would not be trusting the Lord if he proceeded to do something that was contrary to what he thought was right.
Brother Camping, I've got two questions to ask you. My first question is in Titus chapter 2, verse 11.
Titus chapter 2, verse 11, there we read. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now, what is your question?
What does that verse mean?
First of all, what is the grace of God? It is the message of salvation, the free gift of salvation. And in this context, as it's reading the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it is the Word of God. It is a gift of God's grace that He has given us His Word, and it is His Word that bringeth salvation, and that has appeared to the world, to all men. Now, when we look at that word "all," we have to be a little careful with that, because if we try to make that word "all" to say every last human being, then we have to say, then this word that God has written here is not true, because there are individuals or whole villages that live and die without ever hearing about, from the Bible. There are Stone Age people they still uncover in the jungles of Brazil or Indonesia or someplace that still have not, every individual has not heard anything at all about the Word of God. But we do know the word "all" is also used in the sense of all those who are the elect of God, that God is promising that all who are to become saved, they will hear the word of God. God has committed himself to the fact that they must hear the word of God. And so this has to be understood that it is God's plan that all whom God planned to save, absolutely before they die, are going to hear the word of the grace of God, about the grace of God that brings salvation, and they'll hear it through the hearing of the Word of God.
Next question is Revelation 15, verse 4.
Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Let's look at that. Revelation 15, verse 4. We're reading here about the true believers who are in heaven, and we read in verse 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Now, verse 4, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." All right, now the question is, who are all the nations? Now, this has a double meaning. First of all, God saves people from all of the nations of the world. It is his plan that the gospel was to go into all the world, and there would be people becoming believers from all over the world. But there's another meaning. To worship means to bow down, to bow down. And today, there are countless people who would never bow down before God. I received a note from somebody that was saying scandalously, "Why don't you throw away that trash of the Bible?" What a horrible statement to make. But that is their attitude toward God. Are they worshiping God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But the time comes, the Bible says, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow. When will that be? At the judgment throne. When this individual who thinks that the Bible is just trash, or anybody else who is not a child of God, when, if they still are not a child of God, when Christ comes on the last day, and they will bow down and worship, that is, they will recognize God is God. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, this is not true today, but it will be true on that last day, as people are standing before the judgment throne. They will recognize, fully recognize, that the Lord Jesus, whom they have despised, they did not want to do anything with him, they had no interest with him as long as they were living on this earth, but now he is the judge who they are to be judged by, and he is a judge who knows every one of their sins, and a judge who must follow the law of God meticulously so that God's perfect justice will be done, and the law of God declares that the penalty will be eternal damnation, and they will bow before Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will recognize Christ as who he is, whether they like it or not. They will bow before him, and to bow before God is what worship means. They will not worship him in the sense that they are recognizing him as their Savior. It's too late for that. But they will worship him in the sense that they will recognize that he is their judge. Now, how wonderful it is that now that we're still in the day of salvation, we can, if we become a child of God, we can worship him, we can bow before him as our blessed Lord, as our wonderful Savior, as the one who has so loved us that he has given his life for us. And this is what our desire is for everyone listening to this program, that they too, that you too, everyone, might become God's child. We have to leave that with the Lord, of course. All we can do is encourage all of us to stay with the Word of God, because that is the environment through which God, in which God does his work of salvation.